From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
You cannot tell me that's not the dopest beat on podcast radio. Forgive me, but ooh, I get down with that. I love it. Welcome. You know what we are? We are the Forum for the Fans. That's what we are. We are the Bleed Blue Show. That's what we are. And listen, we got a lot of things to talk about tonight besides just the Yankees. This is the Yankees podcast, believe it or not, and we will be covering them. Title of the show is Still Hunting, and that's kind of self-explanatory. You know about that kind of stuff. So I bring on the infamous Knickerbocker Ave in just a second. But, you know, I got to tell before we go any further, let me just say this part. This is our wonderful disclaimer that we always use. Please download our archive shows. Please. We're on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, YouTube. Yes, okay, for you lazy ones. YouTube. Or you know what? What I'd really prefer you do is go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast. And that's for all the recent episodes of basically all our teams, you know, the Yankees, the Rangers, the Giants, and the New York Knickerbockers. Speaking of Knickerbockers, man, the infamous Knickerbocker Ave will be joining us in just a second. Listen, 929-477-4171 is our call-in number, but guess what? This is just a private show tonight. So just listen to the archives. You might learn something. You might get entertained. You might love it. Also, remember to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Bleed Blue Show for each and every one of them. You know, so we're still working with Smoke and Mirrors. The infamous Knickerbocker Ave is on the line. Sir, how are you, sir?
Godfather. You know what? You're right. Sir, I love that intro. That intro is probably and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And, right. You know, maybe I'm just biased because, you know, my little clip is in the title, so it's all good.
Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I have to cut you off, and I have to do this for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Knickerbocker Ave, New York Knickerbocker podcast, is on every Wednesday night, either, depending on where you are, between 8 or 9 o'clock p.m., again, get on. I'll mention this again before we're through with this one. It's on the Bleed Blue Show. The Knicks are live when we have this show. I mean, good Lord, there's a lot of call-ins. There's a lot of real great perspective, some history, some really insight, man. You're not going to hear. And let me tell you, and I'm not trying to start a fight with anybody else on podcast land or even on Twitter, but the truth of the matter is, if you want some real perspective on your team, if your team is the New York Knickerbockers, you got to tune into the Knickerbocker Ave on Wednesday. There's no doubt about it. You know, you've got some first-class stakeholders here that really, really know what's happening and really, really are totally invested in everything blue and orange. And the namesake of this show is right here, and he can tell you the same damn thing I'm telling you right now. Am I right, sir?
Damn straight. I mean, when you got there are a number of different podcasts out there, and all of them have their own perspective, but you're not going to get the real real talk from the real fans, you know, right off the street, because the way we do it is different from everyone else. We don't have, like, a format. We don't have, like, a, you know, a censorship button. We don't, you know, we're not even getting paid for this. We do this because we love it, because we have a true passion and a true love for the team, and we're real with it. When the Knicks are great, we're supporting them, we're loving them. But when they are, they're full of shit, oh brother, we let them have it.
You know why? Because they're family. We're Knickerbocker.
They're family.
We're Yankees and, family. We're Rangers family.
And if you don't believe me, just listen to the archives from the 17-win season.
That's right.
Just listen to the Big Blue Roundtable as well. On when it comes to the Giants, when they let you know what's going on with that, with the New York Giants, which I know they're gonna have a lot of talk about come Thursday night, which I'm gonna be tuning in specifically because that group of guys is, oh man, You can't find a good group of fans to talk to. It's like going to the tailgate every single week,
yes,
no matter where the team
yes.
is. And
yes,
of course, you know, tonight is the dugout. I had to do
right.
it. Like I told you, Chris, I had to do it. My pops finally, you know, got on me and says, Jay, my middle name is Jason, so he calls me Jay. And so he's like, Jay, when are we going to get a Betances jersey? He's like, well, Pop, my last name happens to be Betances. I'm from what I know, I have no relation to the man. He's probably like a third or fourth cousin or something like that. But we finally went out. I went all the way to Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, to go get me at the Models to get me a freaking number 68 Betances jersey in my size.
My.
But yep, now I'm rocking it, so it's all good. But yo, let's talk about this because I've been saying this for like a couple of days. But who the hell are these guys? Who are these Yankees, and where did they come from?
Oh.
Because every week is something different, and this week it's kind of like, I don't know, man. Like,
you know what? You know what? Like, let's talk about that. Let's the three of us talk about that, Nick about that. This is Yankees podcast, everyone. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. But before we do that, let's bring on gigantic Kenny B, who's calling in right now. Hello, sir.
Hey, how we doing?
KD.
We're doing great. We're doing great. Listen, Knickerbocker ass, say that again for the infamous Kenny B.
Hey, KD, what's good? What's good, dog? What's good?
Doing all right.
Say that one more time. Say that one. What you about to say about the
yo,
game.
Yo, KD, what's good? What's good, KD?
No, that's
how
you that
doing? How you doing?
That's a real Yankee right there, boy. You ever notice that Yankees cannot speak? Yankee people have their own language, you know.
Hey, you guys, hey, you want to come out, dog, and everything?
What? You know, it's
we got our own, we got our own language and our own accents and stuff. It's different from the traditional New York accent, but it's there.
It's there, and it's funny because when you're at Yankee Stadium, you can run into another guy totally by mistake. Maybe half of his beer spills, right? And he's in pinstripes, and you're in pinstripes. But he'll look at your pinstripes, and you look at his, and he'll say, oh, man, that's okay, man. Don't worry about it. Automatic forgiveness. Why? Because you represent what you represent, which is greatness. And let's face it, I'm sorry whoever's listening from, I don't know, Cleveland, San Diego, Seattle. Greatness in baseball may not look like it this year, but greatness in baseball is always in the Bronx. Sorry. Excuse me. I said it. Yes, indeed. Go look it up if you don't believe me.
Now, hold up, Godfather.
Gentlemen.
When you were saying that, you know, if you spill a dude's beer, he's looking at your stripes and you're looking at his, we got to be real with it. If you bought one of them bootleg $20 jerseys.
Well, it can't be the eighth inning. It can't be the eighth inning, though. I mean, I'm talking about earlier.
Okay. But I'm just saying, if you're wearing them bootleg jerseys that you got to pick out the swap meet with the numbers are freaking abnormally large. Yeah, you gonna get clowned, bro. Just trust me. If I find you a bootleg jersey, I'm gonna clown the shit, yo. Straight up.
Well, I know you are. Well, wait a minute, Knickerbocker. Let's swing it to action real quick. That is funny. Let's swing it to action real quick. All right. Listen, I want to start off on two different topics before we swing into the games real quick, okay? Kenny D and Knickerbocker F. I want to mention something. There's a guy named Jonathan Holder. Okay? I don't know if you guys know him. Do you? Have you heard about him?
Yeah.
Either one of you?
Struck out a little
Jonathan Holder.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. And looked dominant about it. He struck 11 guys out in a row and 12 out of 13 down there in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, which is our AAA team. This looked like a video game. You had to see it. I looked at this guy and I'm like, you're in the Yankee farm system? Are you serious? Are you belong to us? It's unbelievable.
You said he got 12 out of 13 strikeouts. The one that he didn't get, yeah, served up a single. Do you know who got the single?
Who got the single?
John Ryan Murphy, former
really?
Backup catcher. Yeah. he's down in Triple. He's on the they're playing the Scranton was playing Rochester. Rochester is the Minnesota Twins Triple A affiliate. That's a, and you know, because Mercury's having such a crappy year, and Minnesota got sent down.
Wow.
That's just kind of funny, I thought.
I'm starting to see that. Yeah, that's good, Nick, about that. I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, like, you know what's crazy is that I was watching the highlight on that on YouTube, and it reminded me, I don't know if any of you guys saw this, the Little League World Series, where the South Korean kid and that Holston kid both struck out, like 14 kids, you know, between them, and I'm like, damn.
I know.
But big ups to the, you know, to the New York team winning the Little League World Series up in Williamsport. Man, I watched that whole game. It was really good. Congratulations to those kids.
Check out their name. Check out their name, Nickelbacker F. Endswell. They're from Endswell.
Endswell, New York. See, I've never even heard of that town, and now they're on the map.
Upstate somewhere, right?
Unbelievable.
I don't know.
Don't even ask me. You know, that sounds like it's in Connecticut. No offense, Kenny. I don't even know where the hell that is. But I tell you what, it ended well for the first American team to win it since when? What is it now? Don't even ask me.
2011, I think, last time. I think it was when Georgia won in 2011.
Sheesh.
Actually, no, that was the California team that won it in 2011.
California.
But it was the first time that a New York team has won it since 1964. But it is the third time all around that New York State won it.
52 years?
Damn. Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And that was Staten Island that wanted them, too.
Hey, big up. Big up. Endswell, New York, stand up. My second thing I need to point out is, gentlemen, Gary Sanchez is once again the American League Player of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Second straight week. Okay, this time he had 5 home runs and 9 RBIs, and I have no idea what he hit because I don't have any stats in front of me. But whatever it is, it was in the 5.
552.
It had to be.
He hit 552, boss.
But here's what I'm impressed with. Yes, he's hitting his ass off. He looks like the second. What was the guy? I know he's still there. Who's the Minnesota Twins catch that was catching fire about 4 or 5 years ago?
Joe
Mauer.
Yeah, when he first came up, he was all the rage. It feels
Joe
like that.
All the rage
but
for a while.
I like this guy better. Wait, before you judge me. Hold on a second. I like this guy. I like Gary Sanchez a lot better. I told you guys earlier this year, I said it's going to take some kind of fire with all the changes that are being made, with all the personnel changes with all the unsure. I don't know what the hell the dugout feels like with the New York Yankees this year. I even by watching a game, you can't really tell. I don't know what the hell's going on. But I do know, I said that, hey, it's going to take somebody to catch fire. I'm not blowing my own horn here, but this is the guy that's catching fire. 11 home runs in his first 23. Wait a minute. 11 in his first – he didn't homer in about 6 games, man. Maybe 5. So you have to look at that another way. I'm being biased because I'm a Yankee. So
he hit like 10 and 11 games. Wasn't that what it was? Something crazy like that?
Something like that. Yeah. That's got to be.
Like in the middle there, right? I think that's what it was. No, I don't,
something
I think,
like that, yes.
Yeah. The record
he
has is the most home runs.
Man. I was like, okay, he's doing pretty good. But I was impressed with his arm. He was throwing people out left and right. He got what's my man's name? Cameron Rupp one time, man. I mean, just the other day, like.
I think
look,
the defense
right now is.
The defense is to me almost. I was just saying the defense is almost as impressive as the offense because he's a phenomenal hitter, but he's not gonna hit like this forever. I mean, he's not. Recently, like an 82 home run season, he's on pace for some. No, so yeah, he could hit 30 home runs a year, but the defense is something that's not going anywhere, and that's something that Joe's already mentioned in a press conference. That you don't get streaky like behind the plate when you're blocking balls or calling games. That's something you have and you always have, and that's a great thing to see as a young guy like him, because sometimes catching is something that you develop over the over the course of your career, and he seems to have all the skills necessary really early on.
What about you, Knickerbocker?
I really don't know what to say to this because this is unprecedented for what this kid has been doing, and I love what he brings to the table, the kind of approach that he has. I like that he's going up there fearless. He's out there. You can tell he's having fun, and he has such a professional approach to everything that he does. So I honestly think that, I mean, yeah, is he going to cool off eventually? I mean, everybody goes through a drought, but I honestly feel that this kid, knowing that the opportunity that he's getting right now, knowing that the amount of playing time and the fact that I think in the back of his mind he knows he's going to be the catcher of the future. He's going to be the starting catcher come opening day next season. That he's playing with more than just house money right now. It's just insane the numbers he's putting up in this 2-week period. This is and I was talking to somebody earlier today. And they try to draw the comparison to Linsanity when the Knicks had him a couple of years ago. And I'm like, no, there's a huge difference, an enormous difference. The difference is that this kid is not playing for a contract like Jeremy Lin was. This kid is playing because he knows that he's on borrowed time. He knows that he has really nothing to lose. I mean, he could strike out for the rest of the season, and he knows he's the starting catcher next season. But he's performing. He's going in there fearless. He's tearing the ball off the cover off the ball in just about every chance he gets. I mean, come on now. I mean,
wow.
If by some chance the Yankees do end up getting into the postseason, it'll be on the back, totally on the back of Gary Sanchez, and that's it. It will take, Toronto and Baltimore and Boston to all fall off a little bit, and, and the other teams ahead of us. But in actuality, it's all on the back of Gary Sanchez. And maybe this is just what we need.
He's carrying us.
To kind of move forward.
He's carrying us. Yes, indeed. I'm going to say this, and it might be a little early, but I'm going to say it anyway. Okay? I'm going to say that Nomar Mazara, that plays for the Texas Rangers, he's doing very well. I mean, when he went, who was it? I'm trying to remember.
He's really cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going there. I think it was Sin Soo Choo that went down, and then Nomar caught fire.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
And then kind of calmed down. Right. Now, Michael Fulmer, the pitcher for the Tigers, he started off 9-2, and he was on fire. He had like a sub-2 ERA at one point. But now he's like, I think he's like 10-5, and people have sort of figured him out. I'm not sure what his ERA is, but I do know for sure that it's still pretty good. It's a little bit sub-3, so he looks kind of nice. That's all right. I'm going to go on a limb right there right now, and since I'm a diehard Yankee kind of guy, and I'm going to go ahead and say that if this keeps up, all he has to really do is bat, a .285 from here on in. But I'm going to pencil in Gary Sanchez as the rookie of the year, man. I'm going to do it. Excuse me. I'm a Yankee guy. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a pinstripe dude.
Wow.
I'm a Yankee Stadium kind of guy, and I'm going to put him in there right now.
That's ballsy. I mean,
yep,
he definitely makes a strong argument over the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it'll hold up because you know how fickle those basketball runners are. But he's making a case for it, and if he continues his hot streak, I mean, it's kind of hard to not to not pay attention if you're one of those voters.
Back-to-back Player of the Week awards kind of makes everyone kind of aware that you matter, and I like what he's doing. I like the fact that here we go again. I'm gonna say this: Knickerbocker Ave and Kenny D. I always said, man, I don't know how the hell Giraldi's doing it. I see a losing club with a winning record. I really do. I don't know how this is working. I don't know how it's getting done. For a while there was a new star every day. You know, you had a little A-Rod flashing for about maybe three games earlier this year. But this guy has been our most consistent player through a whole 2 week period, maybe 3 week period that we've had all season. Okay, I mean, no, can't say that. You know, if you want to talk about the other side of the round, the mound, you're talking about pitchers. Oh, I'm gonna go on a limb and I'm gonna say that. Well, you know, your cousin there, Nickelback Ave, I think he's our most consistent guy. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, Gary Sanchez is thrilling people, and this is how it's supposed to feel. This is what happened in 95 when we were like, who the hell is Jeter? This skinny kid is going to make it. You know, this is how it feels. And this is here we go again. You know, I snatched this quote from, I guess I got it from, I don't even know where I got it from. I think it might have been MajorLeagueBaseball.com, MLB. And this quote, you know, Sanchez says this to an interpreter. He says, quote, you feel happy and excited when you get an award like that. At the same time, what I'm happier about is that we keep winning series right now. And that's what we want to keep doing, keep winning series, unquote. Needless to say, I love the dude. That's all he needed to say. I'm sold. I'm on his bandwagon. I'm getting the Gary Sanchez jersey soon. And that's how I feel about it. I just wanted to let you guys know.
Lucky for me, I don't have to do that. I already have a 24th jersey since the Tino Martinez days. So I lucked out on that one.
he's 23 years old. Okay? He is kicking ass. Going into tonight's game, he's hitting .405 with 11 home runs and 21 RBIs in 22 games. Look, it may not keep going, but I got to stay on this bandwagon, man. I'm sorry. This is what we need. This is the kind of guy that needs to carry us on upward and onward. We're not that far away. We're 6.5 out. You know, let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens here. And it's important that we do things tonight. Kenny D, we got the Royals.
Oh yeah.
Give me some analysis, bro. Because I'm gonna ignore. Let me just let you know something right now, and I'm saying this to Bleed Blue Nation. I'm going to really ignore that shutout that we endured the other day. I'm going to acknowledge it. It happened. But I'm not going to. I don't feel like doing that right now. I'm on a high. I'm on a Yankees high. I don't know if that makes me a bad Yankee fan or what. But I don't think we need to talk about that. And yes, that, I saw the entire game. So, Nick, without further ado, Kenny D, what's happening, man? What do you see happening tonight?
Well, the Royals are one of the hottest teams in baseball. They're just coming off taking 2 out of 3 from Boston in Boston. Another good team. They're one of the teams, one of the four teams in front of us, really five, I guess, in pursuit of that second wild card spot. Right now they're only a half game ahead of us. We're 3.5 out. They're 3 out. And you have to leapfrog. You know, you can't get to that spot without going over these teams first. You know, we're chasing the Orioles, but first, we got to take down the other teams. So, essentially, you need to win the series, because if you win the series, then you take a half game lead over them.
True.
That's the first step. Now, it's easier said than done, because they're a very complete team. You know, Randy and Will Camp's probably at the same level. They were playing at last year. They got hit by injuries pretty hard. A lot of guys have been stepping up. Raul Mondesi, a big guy with a huge triple, bases clearing triple at Fenway last night. He's been playing well. You got the big name. You got Salvador Perez. You got Lorenzo Cain. You got the speedster Jerod Dyson, Eric Hosmer. This is a very complete lineup. Eric Gordon in left. Complete lineup. It's not going to be easy for the Yankee pitching staff to deal with. That being said, at the same time, their pitching staff isn't unstoppable either. You know, we'll have our opportunities. But it's going to be a tough series. Both teams here clearly want to have clear motivation to win. No one's just trying to, like, you know, get through the series without disaster. But we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What about you, Knickerbocker?
Well, obviously, this series is very important for both teams. The Yankees are trying to leapfrog them. The Kansas City Royals are just trying to get back into the postseason and defend their world title. And you know, I think that both teams go in here with a lot of pressure on them, because this I'm not saying this could be the season, but this could be a really drastic turning point for either team to kind of let you know who's for real and who isn't. And I mean, I've been on record a number of different times and saying that the Yankees are pretenders. I mean, you know, with this Jekyll and Hyde, you know, one week they're on, next week they're off, you know, kind of performances, and the lack of a consistency, you know, it's very easy for me to say that. However, you know, if the Yankees can come out here with a series victory over the Kansas City Royals, you know, in Kansas City, you know, and able to, you know, to really, you know, move leapfrog them into, you know, now fighting with Detroit and Houston, for that last wild card spot. I mean, it's a very, very realistic, situation that the Yankees could actually make the postseason, despite selling the farm, despite being left for dead, and despite this Jekyll and Hyde, you know, crazy, you know, couple of years. And if they were able to do that, I mean, all bets are off in that one-game playoff, because they're going to play the Boston Red Sox. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they, you know, they knock them out of, you know, of contention, because we do have more games with the Red Sox.
Right.
It's just an interesting dynamic. So I like the fact that the Yankees kind of go into it a little bit like spoiler, but at the same time, a little bit into, you know, with a vested interest in this whole situation. So if you're a Yankee fan, you're really excited, you know, and you're really, you know, paying attention to this series, because these are the kind of games that we have to, you know, capitalize on and really, you know, demonstrate to everybody that we are for real, that, you know, that we're not pretenders, that we really are, you know, trying to compete and make some noise in this postseason.
Right. And, you know, what blew my mind yesterday was, you know, the Royals scored 10. The Royals have won 12 out of their last 14 games, okay, at this time of the year, all right? I was watching, it's like a highlight. I watched the highlights of their game against Boston, and they had that 8-run, 6-inning. And the big hit was Raul Mondesi, who's batting like 198. And he had a 3-run triple. Because Boston's bullpen is for shit, excuse me. And, you know, I looked at that and I said, see, this is the type of this is the type of thing that catapults teams, that makes them stronger and gives them the supreme confidence going forward at this time of year. This is what makes a pennant race. So, actually, Kenny D and Knickerbocker Ave, I'm a little concerned about the Kansas City Royals again. I think they're about to do something. And why? You know, they did it against Boston, and now they, you know, oh boy, oh, they're here, and we have to face the music. So let's see what happens. And if they get, Again, if the Yankees get by this game, which I think I suspect they should, and I'm going to ask you to give me analysis on what you expect tonight, but because the game that game just started, if they should get past them tonight, and Sanchez, by the way, has a good game. I meant to add the other, a little while ago that when we got shut out on Sunday, he didn't. Sanchez didn't homer, but he had a single and a double. He stayed hot. And I'm like, wow, damn. You know, he's on fire. Can we ride him all the way? And then I look at the Royals and I'm going, okay, they're 200 hitter, they're 198 hitter, just caught fire, and I know they're going to ride him. Can we have the same makeup? Can we do the same thing? I don't know. What's going to happen from here on in, gentlemen? It's hard for me to distinguish this, man. I can't figure out the New York Yankees of 2016. I told you guys that a million times. What's going to happen going forward, Kenny D? I mean, I know what we need to do, but what do we have to do in order to make it work? You know, I mean, you know the situation. We're six games over 500. Yes. Okay, that's fine enough. And then, what are we? We're 3.5 behind in the wild card. I don't think that's impossible to handle. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
I mean, prediction wise, I think we're gonna remain relevant for a while. But in the end, I don't think it's gonna be enough. There's too many teams to get over. And I just don't think we have don't have what it takes, really. I mean, our pitching staff is not where it really needs to be every night. You know, we're not getting quality starts every night out of our starters. Our relief corps is, you know, shaky at times. I mean, this team is good. They're an 85 win team, maybe a few more. But I just think there's too many good teams this year for us to be a playoff team. Hey, it would be great, and I'm going to keep rooting for it. But we already fell down 1-0 tonight in the first inning, and Big Mike's looking a little shaky on the hill. Every game matters at this point. And if you it's kind of like survive in advance. If we start losing games now, we're not going to be able to dig ourselves out. And that's just kind of how I see it going down. It's tough for me to say that, but that's what I envision.
Mm-hmm. Nick Buck,
I'm sorry. While Kennedy was talking about it, I did see Lorenzo Cain's single on a line drive and scored chastisement.
Oh,
now the Yankees are down 1-0. But
team really do it.
It's obvious that they have the ability to pull out a couple of good games out of their ass and win a series. Can they do it? For the remainder of the season, that remains to be seen. Because unfortunately, I know what Kenny D is saying. You know, it's very easy to count them out because of what we have. But their inconsistent play is what kind of sometimes when you have inconsistent play, you still kind of hold out hope. You still kind of hold out, the little shred of doubt that possibly they can, the pitcher can hold up, the bullpen can hold up, and the bats can stay alive long enough for them to be able to do something. But unfortunately, Kenny D's absolutely right. I don't think that they have enough to do it. But I like to see them try. And I'm going to have fun watching them try to prove me wrong, because you know they're going to. They seem to have this knack, especially last season and now into this season, to kind of prove the critics wrong and say no, we're not completely out of it. We may not be the perennial World Series champion Yankees that we all come to know and love, but we're a different set of Yankees, and maybe they're that kind of scrappy team that we used to you know, remember the Yankees being, or maybe they're just a different set of Yankees that no one expected them to be there, but now they're there. At this point, it's tough to analyze. It's tough to come up with a prediction, so we basically have to just sit back and watch it unfold as it happens. I mean, yeah, right now they're down 1-0, but it's only the first inning, and, you know, Pineda, his inconsistency, you know, he might turn it around down the later innings, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Wow, that's deep analysis. Okay. Well, look, all right. You know what? I really, really, really wanted that win yesterday because we needed to win that particular series. You know, I saw a stat, Kenny D. The Yanks are 0-7 this season when they're going for a sweep in the finale of a three-game series in 2016. I went, Jesus Christ. And then they had another stat, which said they are 43-7 in those seven games. In fact, as far as being outscored. Why is that? What kind of is it a stigma? What's going on? What kind of mental plate is going on there when they do? Why do they fail miserably going for number three? What's the problem? I'm talking about this team, 2016. I'm not talking about historically. I'm talking about this year. Why does that happen? Kenny D.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't think you can. I don't think you can go after 1 point and say this is why they lose the third game.
Well, give me a point.
Well, you can't because they swept four. They swept four game sets. So clearly, it's not like you're saying that, you know, they're incapable of getting a sweep. It's just sometimes, you know, this team doesn't win a lot of games in a row. So when you win, you win two. I mean, you've got to regress towards the mean at some point, and that's when you lose the third. This team does not win a lot of games in a row. It just doesn't. They're not built for that. They don't have that many good starters. They're bound to get one bad start out of three, usually. It's just they got to lose one of the three. I don't know what to say.
But why do they look so Knickerbocker app, why do they look so bad doing it though in the third game normally? All right, for instance, yesterday, you know, you had Trumbo had his what, 40th home run? I don't have any of my stats 40. In front of me. Trumbo had his 40th home run yesterday. Kevin Gausman, jeez, so is he Tom Seaver or some shit? You know,
I honestly can't tell you what's really going on because. It's again that inconsistent play that plays a role or a factor in it, but it also could very quite possibly be is that Girardi pretty much is looking to win series, not to sweep them. He for some reason the pitching just seems to work in the first two games, and then the third one you're hoping. Maybe you're banking too much on Thiessy. Maybe you're banking too much on Pineda. Maybe you're banking too much on, you know, the guys that, you know, that brought you to the dance early in the season. Because early in the season, Thiessy was your guy. Thiessy was your stopper. And for, you know, for the last couple of outings, he's always missed, you know, he happens to come in to be, you know, the number three starter in the series. And, you know, by then, there's no run support. You know, he's not as sharp. Maybe the extra heat waves are playing a role into it, and I'm not quite exactly sure, but it just doesn't seem to work out. It looks like you know they put all their ducks in a row in the first two games of the series, and then in game three, knowing that they get on the plane, maybe their mind just checks out, and they're like, all right, well, we know we got to get on the plane, we got to head to Kansas City tomorrow, and then in a couple of days we have to head to Minnesota, we got to head to back home to the Bronx. It's like maybe that has something to do with it, but it's just I'm just hoping they can't start putting some sweeps. I mean, I'm loving the fact that we're winning series, but sweeps kind of put a definitive statement and really increases the momentum when you start a new series. And I mean, if the Yankees can string along 6, 7, 8 in a row, and really. You know, make that playoff race a little bit more interesting. I mean, of course, it'll change the entire tone of this podcast, but that's just me.
Gentlemen, our normal lineup. McCann behind the plate. You know, Teixeira, Castro, Gregorio, Headley, and then outfield, Garner, Ellsbury, and Judge. Is that a championship team, man? Knickerbocker. I mean, no, Kenny D, you go first. Oh, I'm sorry. And no, let me add a few other parts to this. I'm so sorry. Let's go in a bullpen. I'm sorry. Let's go in a bullpen, but let's look at the starters. Tanaka. Oh, by the way, Nova's on fire at Pittsburgh. I just want you to know that, Kenny D. 3-0 now.
I know that he was fixed up by Ray Searage.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
It's Ray Searage, what it is.
Yeah. Tanaka, Pineda, Evaldi, Chad Green, and Sessa. What do we got here? Do we have enough guns going forward?
You asking me about this team as a whole? Is it a championship team?
This team? Just this 2016 team?
Not even close.
How far are we going?
I said I'm going to probably not the playoffs. You know? This team is slightly above average. And that's about it. Their lineup, you said, has got, two guys? You got Tyler Austin in there tonight hitting .138. You have Aaron Judge hitting .209 and Aaron Hicks hitting .218. So three guys hitting .220. You got, the exception of Gary Sanchez, no one else hitting over .285. Your starting rotation is good at times, but it's not great. I mean, you got bright spots from Chad Green and Luis Sessa and Tanaka's been good for a lot of the year, but you've had some awful starts from all of them, except for Sessa, who's only had two starts. You can look at each guy and say, well, you've done this wrong. None of these guys are aces, really. We have a solid collection of three and four starters, and then Tanaka.
I agree.
I consider Tanaka slightly superior starter. And then the bullpen. I love Betances. Tyler Clifford and Adam Warner are solid, but they both blundered at times. And then you got all the other guys that you didn't want to talk about, like Swarzak and the main one that bothers me. But yeah, there's a lot of those guys in there that you don't even know what to do with because they're all exchangeable and mediocre. So no, this is not a championship team. There's nothing that really stands out about this team as dominant other than its back end of its bullpen, which is no longer dominant. So I think they're building towards next year. They're doing a good job of staying relevant and keeping ticket sales relatively high. But they're not a championship team.
Look about to have same question.
Do they have enough guns?
None.
No. I mean, on paper, they just don't have it. I mean, and again, the inconsistency is the tail reason. You love what you're getting out of Sanchez. You love what you're getting out of the dances. You love what you're getting out of Tanaka and so on and so forth. But the problem is inconsistency, and of course there's just not enough. 1 through 9. I mean, if Sanchez was hitting the ball, was hitting the ball, and Castro was on, and Judge was on, and Teixeira, had everything going, and Hicks was, I mean, if there was more than just one or two shining spots on this team, then maybe I would consider saying, yes, this team can, why not can this team, defend, go out there and win the pennant. But they're just not enough. And in terms of the pitching, I mean, Kenny Teach just hit it on the head. I mean, there's just not enough, you know, behind Tanaka. You know, there's not enough that much, you know, in between the starters and the bullpen to get to the chances. I mean, just look at the stats, you know, on the last 7 days. I mean, Betances played in 2 games, had 1 save opportunity, you know, in 7 days. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, now given, you know, a lot of those games were blowouts, you know, right. You had 12, you had a lot of blowout victories, but then you also had a lot of blowout losses that, it, you know, sandwiched in between and shutouts. So, you know, if, no. So the answer is absolutely not. I don't think they have enough. But again, I would love for them to prove me wrong. It would be nice if they did.
Oh yeah.
And you know, when it comes September, October, you know, it'll be the playoff edition of the dugout, and but we'll just have to wait and see until then.
All right. They're 67-62. They're 4th in American League East. They're 3 games out of these wild cards. Yeah, it's kind of daunting, prized in a way that they're still this close. I don't know why. I've been that way all year. Okay. All right, well, it is what it is. I can't really say more. So we got 3 games right now. We're down 3-0 to the Royals, by the way. I saw Alex Gordon get caught stealing. That was the last thing I saw. We can't keep getting off like this, man. We gotta. There's no swagger here, you know. There's no. Who's the de facto leader of the Yankees right now? And I'm not. It's not a rhetorical question. I really want to know.
It's a story. I'll share real quick. I have a friend whose dad works at a car dealership over in Mount Vernon. And he says that Alfonso Soriano came in. This is a couple months ago now.
Wow.
And the guy, they started talking Yankees. This guy's a big Yankee fan. What, are you not going to talk Alfonso Soriano about the Yankees? And what Soriano said is that this team doesn't have a leader. This is when the team was kind of slumping. You know, they were hanging right around 500, couldn't get over that hump.
Right.
And Soriano said this team doesn't have a leader. You know, at the time, the options were like Teixeira and A-Rod, because A-Rod was on the team at the time. What I said to that was, Teixeira's too old. No one thinks he's any good. And A-Rod, people didn't trust A-Rod as a leader. You know, they saw him as an instructor, because they know he knows what he's doing, but not as a, you know, a leader mentally or emotionally in the clubhouse. And I think McCann is in the same boat as Teixeira. They're not, you know, strong enough players this year to really carry any weight. And then, you know, the rest of these guys, they're just kind of like, they're there. Guardian and Ellsbury are just kind of there. Headley's are there. But no one's really stepping up. And the team looks a little lost without Jeter. I know it's been 2 years, but he was a guy for such a long time.
Right. You're right, man. This is kind of a distant feel to them. And, you know, you can actually feel it just sitting in the stand sometimes. You can actually look at the dugout and you're going, they're all hanging out with their own little cliques and they're not really meshing together like they should, like the former Yankee teams have. What's your take, Knickerbocker? What are you looking at?
Well, it's actually interesting that Kennedy had a, you know, the interesting story about Alfonso Soriano. I have one similar as well. My uncle, I have two uncles that live up that either live or hang out a lot up in Washington Heights, and mm-hmm. the person that they actually see quite frequently is Tony Pena. And,
wow.
He's, you know, he's still very, you know, very a very focal point in the community in Washington Heights, and people ask him, you know, a lot of Yankee questions. Of course, they're always asking for tickets, but a question that my uncle actually asked him is, like, he asked me the same question. It's like, since Derek Jeter is no longer there, and now that A-Rod's not there anymore, and Teixeira's on his way out, who is the new face of the Yankee team? And Pena went out specifically, says, is like, if you have to pick a face, it's probably Joe Girardi. Because obviously, you know, Derek Jeter was a player, and he's a captain and led by example. And as Kenny D said, it's very evident that A-Rod was someone that, you know, yeah, people looked up to him. They didn't really have that trust in him just because of, you know, whatever the case, whatever you think of him, you know, whether he's, you know, he's fake or he's too scripted or whatever the case may be. He did say that McCann, you know, would have been it, you know, maybe CeCe, but again, Casey's also on his way out, and it looks like the old guard is starting to leave, you know, it's starting to make room for the new guys. So if you really have to pick up, you know, the leader of this team, it is, and it begins and ends now with Joe Girardi. It's like, if you want to look at players, maybe it's CeCe. But that's about it. In terms of anyone else, you're looking at the future. You're looking at, you know, you're looking at Gary Sanchez. You're looking at possibly a Dellin Betances. You might be looking at a Tanaka, and you might be looking at a Sterling Castro and a Didi Gregorius. But so to answer your question, there really isn't a definitive face or a definitive leader in that clubhouse, because there. It's exactly how how KBD said. There are a lot of guys that are, you know, to themselves. The clubhouse is very segmented. The guys look like, you know, they have their, you know, they all get along. They all play as a team, but they're not, you know, talking to each other. Like, they have their
coach.
They have their segments, and you know, they're just people they roll with. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes it looks like a team divided. And, you know, when you're trying to make an incredible playoff run, because if the Yankees do pull this off, it's nothing short of an incredible or a miracle at this point. But for them to pull that off, they have to be all with one mission, one view, one focus, and, you know, and one direction. And sometimes you can almost see it in flashes, but you don't see it on a consistent basis. And there it goes again. The word of the day, consistency, and it's going to haunt us.
Right. You know, I got to tell you guys something. I'm gonna bring a little history lesson to you a little bit, just a little bit. Because I don't know.
Children, gather around.
Yeah, just a little bit. just a little bit. You know. There was a team, the Yankees had a team in 1978 that were self-imploding. It was just really, really bad, okay? And a little bit of about a month ago, how do I do this? How do I say this? A month ago, 38 years ago, the Yankees were 14 and a half games behind the Red Sox. You know how you normally go to the games, you see the scalpers out there just giving you, you know, some cheap seat, you know, selling some cheap seat stuff? The outside of Yankee Stadium back then, in 78, they weren't selling bleacher shots. I mean, bleacher seats out there. They were selling box and mezzanine seats, man, because everyone just knew the season was over. Over. Then Billy Martin, you know, during late July, he tried to, impress the press by saying, you know, he suspended Reggie Jackson, okay, for defiance. I'm serious, for defiance. Go look it up somewhere. I know it's on Google or something. After he bunted when Martin had a swing signal on during something that was going on against Boston of all teams. And, you know, when Jackson came back after the game, he made some statements. Martin made some statements against Jackson first. And then Steinbrenner or something like that. And then, you know, because Martin said something like, one's convicted and one's a criminal or some shit like that. And they made him resign the next day. And everything was nuts. Well, Bob Lemon came in. Bob Lemon was a coach for the Yankees. And he addressed the team as manager for the first time, and he said, you know what I want you guys to do? I want you to stop being a bunch of little girls, and I want you to go out there and play baseball. I want you to play baseball, and I want you to beat everybody in front of you. I want you to do it without excuses. I want you to do it as a team, and I don't want to hear no whining. Let's just relax. Let's have a little dinner, and when we're through, I want you to be a baseball team. Well, all I know is look, Boston was losing five in a row, and the Yankees were winning five in a row, had won five in a row, where Martin was forced to resign. But something happened when Bob Lemon came in, and they went to Boston for a four-game series. It's very pivotal, and they swept these guys. That's the game. That's, if you ever hear, that's Boston Massacre.
Yeah. Boston Massacre and
7-0 and 7-4.
And third game and it started that phrase though. It started that one phrase. Remember,
that's
Godfather?
Exactly
that,
right.
that Bucky fucking dead.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But the real impressive thing was that Saturday game, Louisiana Lightning, Ron Guidry. God, he shut them down. One hitter, and they just caught fire. They just caught fire. Now, I alluded to the Royals earlier with the Mondesi. Just once he got that damn triple yesterday, it almost seemed that dugout caught fire. We need fire, too. I'm pretty sure if you are in one dugout and the Roy, you can see, you can feel, you're a player, you're a Yankee, you feel their fire. You see what how they're thinking, how they're acting. And that should not intimidate you. But the Yanks went right out there and got into a hole. And I'm trying to wonder what makes this team really, really click. What's it going to take? You guys should be able to protect your house, man. You know? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to protect Yankee Stadium. That's what you're supposed to do. Or Kansas City, I'm sorry. Well, it doesn't matter. You're supposed to goddamn go out there and make a stance. And I do not see any fire here. So when are we going to get it? I don't know. All I know is this. Kenny G, give us some last thoughts and tell everybody where they can find you, sir.
Yeah, you can check me out on Facebook at New York Yankees Talk. Final thoughts. You know, the Yankees have already dug themselves into a hole tonight. They're down 3-0 in the second inning. You got to take it one game at a time. I got to start tonight and got to keep winning. But pretty soon it's going to be too late. So survive in advance. Keep going.
Really? Wow. Thank you, Kenny D. The infamous one. Speaking of infamous, what about that Knickerbocker Ave?
Well,
ahead,
you know where to find me. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at Knickerbocker Ave. And you will find me here, of course, on the Knickerbocker Ave fan forum Wednesday night. Kenny D, you need to check us out one day. You need to come on the show and just talk Knicks with us one day. I'm going to hold out for you for that one. And my final thought is to answer you, Godfather, what does this team need? I think this team really needs a very good come-from-behind victory. And
that's right.
What better way to do it than right now? They're down 3-0. If they can come back from behind and beat the Kansas City Royals and then take the series and then build from that momentum, that would be, you know, that would be the sign that would be reminiscent of that
78-18.
That would be reminiscent of that, all this team really needs is that one kick in the ass. And that one shot where they can believe they can win every game that they, you know, that they play from here on out, and
there you go.
It remains to be seen.
Okay.
If they can pull one out, they can do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for Knickerbocker Ave, for Kenny D, this was the Bleed Blue Show. This is the number one Godfather, Chris, talking to you. And hey, listen, download us on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Bleed Blue if you can. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's hit it. All right. And we are out.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.